values, and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
It is the Mike Broomhead Show. It is not Mike Broomhead. It's Mike Opelka. And I'm thrilled to be here. And I just heard from another Mike, Mike Thorne, listening. So it's triple mics. They're, all the mics are here. But I'm thrilled to be here on the mic, filling in for my friend Mike Broomhead. Honored, in fact. We've been talking about this for a long time, and I finally get the opportunity. And I hope you enjoy, and I hope you understand and appreciate that this is truly a mission for me. It's a life's mission, this kind of work and this kind of programming. So I'm pleased as punch to be here. So many things we will get into today. We will keep going back to any significant updates out of Highland Park, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, where that horrific shooting happened yesterday. If there's any news, again, I will not say the alleged shooter's name, only any updates that we have. We're also going to talk about January 6th. There's some really important stuff that did not get a lot of attention from the January 6th panel. And why? Well, it just kind of blows their entire argument out of the water. So we'll talk about that. There's an inflation discussion that involves the president of the United States, the president of China, and the second richest guy on the planet that we have to get into today. And some crazy stuff, some literally crazy stuff that we will cover. I mentioned before the last break that I had a Schadenfreude moment. And if you're not familiar with the word Schadenfreude, again, I try to educate every time I'm on the radio. Schadenfreude is a great word. It's a German word, and it means pleasure at the misfortune of others. Does that make me a bad person if I take pleasure at the misfortune of others? I hope not. But leave it to the Germans to come up with a word like that. So Schadenfreude moments yesterday, I had a couple of them. And one of them involved Bette Midler. I know you're thinking, that 76-year-old former actress, maybe still, I don't know if she's singing. She used to be a good entertainer. But when she went political, she lost all of my attention. But Bette Midler was mad. She was very mad this weekend, very angry about the direction the country is going. I don't know why. These Democrats are never happy. They have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House, they have the president, vice president, they have all of this. But they don't have the Supreme Court, so they're upset. And with the decisions that came down in the last couple of weeks, the one that reaffirmed your Second Amendment right to own a firearm, that sent the cases back to the states as it relates to deciding whether or not to protect the unborn. Well, this just blew them out of the water. The left is losing it, and Bette Midler is right there at the top of the list of those A-list celebrities who have lost their ever love and mind. So she started tweeting things, because that's the way they get out there when they're not relevant anymore, is on the Twitters. And they get a whole lot of people that will forward their stuff. But yesterday, on the 4th of July, Bette Midler put out a tweet talking about how unhappy she was. And, you know, they're basically canceling July 4th. They don't want July 4th to go on if they can't have everything their way. You know, they're kind of fascist that way, aren't they? And then she tweeted out a second tweet that I agreed with. And I said, wait a minute, my God, I agree with Bette Midler on something? Golly, Bob, howdy, how did that happen? So here's the tweet from Bette Midler. And it's the tweet that had me saying, I agree with Bette Midler on something. And it also gave me a Schadenfreude moment shortly afterwards. The tweet from the formerly divine Miss M reads, quote, "They don't call us women anymore. They call us birthing people or menstruators or even people with vaginas." That was her tweet. That's what she posted on Twitter. That's what she was upset about yesterday, as well as the protection of life of the unborn. She was really mad about that. But she's very mad that women are being erased. And I think this is wonderful. I think it's wonderful that an actual woman is standing up for other women. I think that's really good. And here's where the Schadenfreude moment happened. You can't dare question the language that the far, 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 far left has approved. And they have approved that we don't call females women anymore. No, that would be wrong, because they're not all really females. Some of them are biological males. But if they want to be called females, you have to call them female. So the women, the actual women, the people that have the parts, that have the plumbing, that have the equipment to create life in the miracle of conception and delivery, those people, they want to call them birthing people. That's what they want to call them. And so when Bette Midler posted that tweet, the trans world and the trans-friendly world, what is it called, TERF? I forget, T-E-R-F, something like that. They're allies. They call them allies. It's really kind of weird. They went crazy, and they want Bette Midler canceled now. I am making popcorn. I am making a lot of popcorn and watching the left attack the left. There is nothing more entertaining than that. And it's free. And they're doing it to themselves, which is just all the more fun and entertaining. And then on top of that, to give me another Schadenfreude moment yesterday, the corpulent one, Michael Moore, remember him? He's a guy who made a lot of movies that the left liked, and you know, he's a filmmaker, a liberal filmmaker. He posted a declaration Monday on his Substack outlining his grievances with the United States of America. What is he, nailing it to the door? Is this the Wittenberg door? No, it's Michael Moore on the internet posting his grievances with the United States, and he's not happy. In his declaration, he recalled the events of the Supreme Court and the conservative majority bothers him. And he said, quote, "I cannot in good conscience." Of course, I'm saying it better because I don't have a mouthful of food like he would have. "I cannot in good conscience continue to receive the privileges of full citizenship in this land when all of its women and girls have now been, by court decree, declared official second-class citizens with no rights to their own bodies and conscripted to a life of forced birth should they fall pregnant and not want to be." So he's now turning over citizenship. So we got room for a few more people. You know, I'm just saying. Michael Moore renouncing. He'll never leave. They never do. They all bluster like this, but they never leave. But I did have a wonderful Schadenfreude moment watching the left devour itself and take itself to the woodshed. It's just wonderful, isn't it? My name's Mike Opelka. I'm in for Mike Broomhead. When we get back, I think we're doing that. Did you hear this? Yeah, I'm going to have fun with that, too, on the Mike Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It is the Mike Broomhead Show. Sans Broomhead with Opelka replacing him. Yeah, it's Mike Opelka. That's my name. Conservative broadcaster and somebody you may remember from my days at the Blaze. And friend of Broomhead. I think that qualifies me for a lot of things, including a screw-up or two. And I teased that we'd be back with, did you hear this? That's coming up in 2 hours. I'm way ahead of myself. So I got way out in front on that one. So forgive me. Mea culpa, mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa. So much to talk about, though. My goodness, we have stuff to talk about. I know that there's been so much talk, especially in this part of the country, about the border and what's happened on the border. And it does feel like it's intentional that the border is being overwhelmed. And if you go back to the campaign of 2020, Joe Biden actually said we could handle 2 million people a year. Actually put the number out there. So lo and behold, it happens. And it does feel planned to people like me. But I'm looking at the other collateral damage to what's going on our southern border. I'm looking at the collateral damage to the communities along the border, and then to the communities where people are now being bused and flown at remarkable rates and at the expense of you and I, the taxpayer. And it can be maddening, can it not? It can be really troubling, really maddening. And it's even more maddening when the people in charge of protecting the border are fairly clueless to what's going on. And then they win one, the only real big Supreme Court decision that this administration picked up was the defeat of the push to keep Remain in Mexico in place, which Donald Trump had created this policy, and it appeared to be working and was helping, but then we lost it. We lost that one decision, and a lot of folks are very concerned that there is going to be a surge even larger at our southern border. And not only is the people crisis going to be bigger, but one anticipates, if one is a thinking, sentient being, which most of us here are, if you're not a Democrat, one anticipates that the drugs are going to increase exponentially, possibly geometrically, which would be terrible for America. The flood of illegal drugs coming across the border has gotten so bad and so deadly that it is now the leading cause of young people. The fentanyl poisoning is the leading cause of young people. More than 107,000 dead in just the last year we kept numbers. And the numbers are increasing. We had the tragedy last week. I don't know the young man's name. I'm embarrassed I don't know his name. He plays for the Baltimore Ravens, the NFL player. I think he's 27 years old. He suddenly passed away. And people are saying, this guy just died. And finally, 3 days later, we get the autopsy. Mr. Ferguson, Jalen Ferguson, was that his name? Talented young man. Thank you, Jeremy. A talented young man, Jalen Ferguson. Guy had his whole life ahead of him. And he died of a fentanyl overdose. The problem is these guys in the cartel south of the border, they're not our friends. They're not good people. They don't care. They just want to make the money. And they are printing money and doing it at the expense of America and with the help of China. And we'll get into that, too, because China is an unholy alliance with so many countries now. And this fentanyl crisis is awful. I'm going to get a buddy of mine on the horn just around the corner from the Cleveland Clinic to talk about this. But this young man probably thought he was taking a Percocet or a Percodan or one of them other Percosomethings because they make the pills to look like the pharmaceuticals that you would get with a prescription. And it turns out to be something made in a lab in Mexico and delivered across the border and woven into the fabric and inventory of all these drug dealers. And this guy takes one and he's gone. Gone. And that's happened over 107,000 times in the last year. And just last week, we had the two guys that were caught with 150,000 fentanyl pills in California. And they were out on the street before the paperwork was complete. Out on the street before the paperwork that the guys who had brought them in were filling out. And the district attorneys defend all of that action. Again, it goes back to them believing the criminals are the real victims. And society had it coming for what they did to make their lives miserable. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why November has to be a pivot point for America to get back to common sense. But Alejandro Mayorkas was on the Sunday talk shows. And I think this guy is an embarrassment as well. It's just part of the Biden administration that doesn't know what he's doing. Here's a little bit of what he said.
The migration that is occurring throughout the hemisphere is reflective of the economic downturn, increase in violence throughout the region. We continue to warn people not to take the dangerous journey. We are enforcing our laws.
Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job.
What? I think we are doing a good job. A, you're not enforcing the law. Joe Biden, by the way, has not been down to the border. Kamala, technically, not been to the border. She went to El Paso, didn't get close. They don't care. They believe, and I think this is part of their problem, they believe that these voters that are coming in, that's what they see in them as future voters, will automatically gravitate towards the Democrat side of the aisle because the Democrats are the ones who gave them the citizenship. And this is especially important as Joe Biden is seeing his numbers among Hispanic voters dying. And the numbers among independent voters are really tanking. He's down to an 18% approval rating among independents. The border is going to be something that we need to keep on the front of everyone's mind, especially as we get to the midterm elections. We have to protect our country. We have to protect this state. We have to protect the people. It's Mike Opelka in for Mike Broomhead on The Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It's Mike Opelka in for my friend Mike Broomhead today and today only. I'm glad to be here, honored to be here. Before the break, we were talking about the situation at the border and all of the problems it's causing us here and all of the problems it's causing us nationally, especially as it relates to the health of young people and the deaths from fentanyl poisoning, which is just so out of control. And the administration is absolutely numb and not talking about it. They're blind and looking the other way. So I want us to understand it. I think knowledge is the key to understanding and then getting our plan together to deal with it. So I got my buddy, Dr. Michael Roizen of the Cleveland Clinic on the horn. He is he's a genius when it comes to health and medicine and living younger and living longer. And he's going to talk about the fentanyl thing as well as he wants to talk a little bit about some things you can do to live younger and live longer. That's his whole deal. He's all about that. But Doc, I'm glad you're here to help us out. The fentanyl thing is vexing to me. I don't know how we get our head around it. I don't know how we stop it. I just know that it's got to stop, and we have to find a way to get people to stop even using it or trying it. What's the answer, Dr. Roizen?
Well, the key is, did you experiment on anything, smoking, marijuana, anything when you were a kid?
This can't be used against me in any court, Kenan.
No.
Okay. Yes, of course I did. Yes.
And every one of us did. The problem is you can't do that now with drugs or with anything else because there a whole bunch of them are laced with fentanyl. The intent of the cartel isn't to kill you. It's to get you hooked on it so you keep buying it. But the dosage, they don't know, you know, these are ma and pop shops cooking up the dosage, and they're not putting it on in a what you would call a therapeutic fashion. So all of these pills that people are buying over the counter are likely to be laced with this stuff. So what's the answer? Well, either each kid can only experiment when they're with a friend. You got to have a rule. It's with a friend, and the friend has to have Narcan and know how to administer it and have been trained in it. And maybe that's the way of stopping it. Because the real way of stopping this is to say, look, experiment online. Experiment with games of how to play baseball better. Experiment with basketball shots. Experiment with something healthy. You know, play pick a pickleball backhand, you know, one hand tied behind your back or something to beat your grandparents. But the problem is when you experiment with drugs now is they have a high chance of killing you. You can't experiment because and if you are lucky enough to get the right dose, that is someone laced it with the right dose, you're likely to get addicted to it. Another problem. It is so potent and addictive drug. So, you know, two out of at least every three shots, you're going to end up with a bad result. So the point is we've got to educate people on how to not try it once. One of the ways of educating them, and I hadn't thought of this before our conversation, is to teach every kid how to use Narcan on a dummy. And maybe that way, and you, that way you'd say, okay, maybe that's the right way of doing it.
Let's talk about the research this week. And now, one of my favorite things is you sent me the research. At the very top, it says, you are a genetic engineer. Exercise hard. Produce a protein that turns on a gene that keeps you from eating. So is that why when I work hard in the gym, when I really work up a good sweat, that I'm not hungry?
Well, it may be. And just to show you, this experiment's done at Stanford and at Harvard at the same time. And they found that when you exercise really hard, you produce lactic acid, as you probably know. That's the waste product of your muscles really being strenuously exercised.
Yeah.
Well, that, part of the lactic acid, phenylalanine, the lactic acid combines with phenylalanine, it gets across your blood-brain barrier, turns on a gene that is an appetite suppressor gene. So maybe that's what's happening. It, just to give you an idea, Stanford thinks enough of it that they filed a patent for that set of compounds.
So is it possible that it's a specific compound you could take, or is it something?
Yes, that's what they hope.
So then they'd be able to market it, but is it also something they could know that after a specific amount of time, you could trigger that compound to be naturally made by your body?
You do trigger it naturally made by your body. That's why you're a genetic engineer.
I love that. That's absolutely fantastic. That's fabulous. You are the main resource for being able to turn on a gene that turns off your hunger or maybe limits it some way. This is going to be so cool. I can't wait for the new book. All right, Doc, there is no bigger subject among all the females in our lives than breast cancer. I can't even stress how universal a topic this is. And number two on your research this week says plant-based diets may help keep breast cancer away, may help prevent it.
They looked at women in the nurses' health study and other studies. And those on a primarily plant-based diet, not 100%, but those primarily had about a 15% reduction in breast cancer. Those who were on a very good plant-based diet, meaning they ate healthy plants, they ate a variety, they had red meat less than once a week, etc., had a 22% reduction in breast cancer. So going largely plant-based, very rare meat, very rare, and meat included chicken and fish, very rare of any of the animal products, much lower risk of breast cancer.
And that's a simple adjustment to your life. That is focusing on a plant-based diet, limiting your meat consumption significantly once or less than once a week. And does that include fish? Can you still eat fish?
Yes.
Okay. So that's pretty good. It's almost a pescatarian diet that would put you on a better path and give you about a 20% better chance of keeping breast cancer away.
That's exactly right. It really is pescatarian. That's what we think. The Mediterranean diet, olive oil is your primary oil, nuts, some fish, but largely vegetables is the right way of going.
So you're saying eat healthy every day, and that relates to number five on your list. How, you know, it's tough, Doc. There's a lot of temptations around there. You can't swing a cat without seeing something that wouldn't qualify as healthy eating. You say how to eat healthy every day. How do you do it?
You were going to say you can't swing a golf club. What's this cat thing?
I don't know. It's a British thing. They talk about there's not enough room in here to swing a cat. I'm not advocating cat swinging, by the way. Not at all. There he goes.
Well, basically, if you don't have bad stuff in the house, you won't eat it.
That's true. If you can find a way to keep it out of your house, out of your cabinets, and it takes an effort. It takes consciousness when you're doing the shopping. I do all the grocery shopping in our house, so our bad foods have been significantly cut back because I've replaced a lot of the stuff that used to be in the junk category with things like walnuts and things like pistachios, raw pistachios and stuff like that, and replacing sodas with tart cherry juice and maybe some pomegranate juice and trying to stay away from the carbonated stuff. But it takes an effort because some of that stuff tasted so good the last time you had it. So you have to work at it, I guess, is the answer to keep your cupboards clean from all the bad stuff that's out there. Doc, you always say we should eat less processed foods. What qualifies as a processed food, especially processed meat? If I make, if I roast my own turkey breast, that's not a processed food, is it?
Anything in a box is a processed food.
Okay, so anything that's been preserved in some way, shape, or form?
Anything they have taken from the original state and made into a different state before you cook it.
Because then you're eating a lot of chemicals along with
and a lot of sugar.
And a lot of sugar, yeah. Try and get around the high fructose corn syrup in your diet. That's almost impossible. Two more for you. I've been having some weird dreams lately. Can you really tell me what dreams mean?
Nobody can. Dreams are really personal, and they really mean only what you know they mean. And most of us don't know what they mean. They occur. We know when they occur. They occur most highly in rapid eye movement sleep. That's when you consolidate memories, and that's when they occur. But no one knows other than that. We just don't have an answer.
So there's shelves and shelves of books at the bookstore and at the library that are all about interpreting dreams. And I know Freud spent time on it, too. Nobody really knows what dreams mean, do they?
It's all, if you will, UVS, unverified science.
One more quick one. Any strategy for busting up brain fog? Because I know a lot of people think it's long COVID or maybe just they're worn out. Okay, what can you do for brain fog?
The key is develop a strategy where you're going to do boom, 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 boom. You set a schedule. I'm going to exercise here. I'm going to do a brain game here. I'm going to eat the following. I'm not going to eat the following. So you want to eat Mediterranean and healthy. You want to exercise vigorously and exercise sometime. It's your new job. Your new job is getting rid of brain fog. So you've got to treat it as a job. I'm going to do the following eight things or whatever you want to do that day. And set a schedule and push yourself to do it.
So make a list, stick to it, and give yourself credit when you get everything done. And if you do it often enough, your brain will develop that muscle and maybe work away the fog. Is that a good synopsis?
That's a better synopsis than I did.
All right. Well, I guess I am in the right spot after all. And you wouldn't
You are the host.
You wouldn't want me in the clinic. I can tell you that, Doc. It's very, very sure. His name is Dr. Michael Royzen. His book, soon to be released, September 3rd, The Great Age Reboot, Cracking the Longevity Code for a Younger Tomorrow. I cannot wait for it. And I can't wait to talk to you again next week, my friend. I hope you get to play golf this week.
I don't have enough time to play in the summer. I only play in the winter in La Quinta. I'm out of luck.
Well, I'll play for those who can't.
Great. Do that.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
And there he goes, Dr. Michael Royzen, a Cleveland Clinic guy. You follow him on Twitter. He's got great information on how to live a better, healthier, younger life. And always clear in his explanations. I don't feel like I need a medical dictionary. It's Mike Opelka in for Mike Broomhead on The Broomhead Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
It is The Broomhead Show. Mike Opelka sitting in for my buddy Mike Broomhead today. And he wrote me and made me very nervous. He goes, I'm going to listen today. I'm like, what? Just let me have my time. Just don't put any pressure on me, Broomhead. Because he's imposing. You know, he's got such a giant brain.
And speaking of someone who doesn't have that problem, Kamala Harris, our vice president, is somebody I monitor all the time just because she needs to be monitored all the time. But I'm not the only one. There is an Australian newscaster on Sky News who has the same addiction to monitoring Kamala Harris, and she has a nickname for her.
The cackling nincompoop who is a heartbeat away from the presidency.
Yes, that's right. The cackling nincompoop. And she seems to, Kamala, seems to have muted the cackle, at least recently. But she was in New Orleans over the weekend speaking with the people from Essence Magazine. You probably let your subscription lapse, but they're still out there, Essence Magazine. During the pandemic, you probably just let it go. And she was sitting down in front of a group of people speechifying and taking questions. And I just thought it was kind of weird that she'd be joking about how hard it is for Americans to pay for gas. It just seems strange.
Yeah, what we need to do domestically, what we need to do to bring down the cost of gas. Well, right? Right?
I seen a meme the other day that said, me Googling online how to make gas at home. Okay?
Ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
Hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. Americans have to pay twice as much as they paid last year for gas. That's just funny. That's funny when the little people have to pay. And then she says stuff that doesn't seem to make any sense, right? And it always catches me by surprise. Like somebody didn't clarify with Kamala that she needs to be more concise. And she says stuff like this.
That's why we're here today. Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
See, that's a line she uses over and over again. Over and over again. Here's about six different situations where she uses the same line. Kamala, if you will.
I have to believe in what can be, unburdened by what has been.
Okay.
We must always see who we can be, unburdened by who we have been.
Who we've been. Got it. Got it.
An ability to see what can be.
What can be, yeah.
Unburdened by what has been.
I'm totally
what
unburdened.
What can be.
Yeah.
Unburdened by what has been.
Yeah, I'm unburdened.
See what can be.
Sure.
Unburdened by what has been. We see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
Bring people to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be.
Yeah, so unusual.
Unburdened by what has been.
So
it is the ability
unique.
To see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
God help us, right? It's really scary. There's nothing up there. Maybe she caught it from Joe. You know, we used to talk about super spreader events during COVID. Could it be the White House is now a stupid spreader event? Every time you walk in the door, you risk the chance of catching a little bit of the Biden brain fog. I'm just saying, makes me nervous. So Pelka in for Broomhead on the Broomhead Show.